Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai. Those of you who I saw last night at the Chaim David concert, so people were commenting, how is it going to be a shir today if I was there last night? So the truth is, if I get into trouble, I'm just going to lapse into singing. So hopefully everyone picked up the nagunim, and therefore we'd be good to go. Today's shir is something which is very near and dear to me personally, because the shiloh that I would like to discuss, I believe, pertains to me myself, and probably pertains to other people as well. The topic of today's shir is the halachos of a left-handed person putting on tefillin. Now, we know that from the common minhag, there are different, tefillin. Some people wear like a right-handed person, some people wear like a left-handed person. So I'd like to discuss that. And the reason why this comes up is because it's based, at least according to one opinion in the Gemara, the halacha is based on a pasuk that we found in yesterday's parsha, the very last pasuk. And that is, we know that parsha's bow is identified with tefillin. We know that if you open up a pair of tefillin, you will see that there are four sections of the Torah, four parshios that are in tefillin, and those four parshios are the four places in the Torah that speaks about the mitzvah of tefillin. And the four parshios are, the first two of them are found at the end of yesterday's parsha in succession. You have the Kaddish Li Kol B'chor, and then that's section number one. Then you have V'hoya Ki Aviyacha, that's section number two. That's the way the parsha concludes. And then you have in Parshas Veschanan, you have Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad V'haftas Hashem Elokecha. That's Parsha number three, at least according to Rashi. That's certainly, according to everybody, that's one of the parshias that's included. And the fourth parsha is found in Parshas Ekev V'hoyim Shemoa Tishmu and El Mitzvosai, which we also say is part of the Kriyashma. Those are the four sections of tefillin that are found in the parshias of tefillin. 2 years ago, we spoke about the machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, as referring to the order in which the parashiyos are supposed to appear in the tefillin, that Rashi holds that the parashiyos are kesidron, that it goes according to the order it's written in the Chumash, and therefore it would be the two from yesterday, followed by Shema, followed by V'hoyim Shema, whereas Rabbeinu Tam held that the last two should be reversed, that V'hoyim Shema should come third, and then Shema should come fourth, and we discussed this at great length a couple of years ago. What I would like to talk about today is based on the very last pasuk in the parsha, where the Torah tells us, this is in the section of V'hoya Ki Aviyacha, so we have it here on the sheet, on the first side, Shmos, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Tezayin, the Torah says, that this should be as a sign on your arm and as well between your eyes, that this represents the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim b'chozek yad with great strength. So this is the pasuk in the whole parsha that refers to tefillin. This is why this section is found in tefillin. It's just because of this one pasuk. Now, if we examine this pasuk closely, there is an unusual aspect to the pasuk, and that is that the fourth word in the pasuk, al yodcha, is spelt differently than it's spelt in the rest of the Torah. And that is, the word yodcha usually would be spelled yud, dalet, and then a final chaf. Whereas here, the word yodcha is spelled yud, dalet, then chaf, and then hey, which is an unusual thing. And we will soon see that is the basis of a major drusha that the Chazal made, and we'll see the ramifications of that drusha. So this is, I just want to call to your attention that the foundation of this shir is this word, yodcha, spelled differently. Okay, now, with that in mind, we come to the Gemara in Menachos. This is a very, very fundamental Gemara. The laws of tefillin are all found in the third parak of Menachos, and at least most of them are. And we pick it up here from the Gemara, which is the begins on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. It's the second section here on the sheet. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, so now this Gemara is going to discuss which arm a person puts tefillin on. Now, before we look at the Gemara, I would take the liberty to assume that most people here are right-handed, and everybody knows that being right-handed, you put tefillin on your left arm, which is strange when you think about it, because usually the right in halacha, the right carries weight over the left. The right is considered primary. And therefore, one would think that if I am right-handed, then I should put tefillin on my right arm, because I'm right-handed. Much in the same way that a person who is right-handed, when he makes kiddush, holds the kiddush cup in his right hand, specifically in his right hand, because that is his better arm. That is his featured arm, right? And so too, a person who holds a lulav, so we know that the lulav and the esrog are not supposed to be held in the same hand. And the lulav is the one, because it has three mitzvos, it has the lulav, the hadasim, and the aravos, so the lulav is considered more chashuv than the esrog, even though these vendors will not believe that. They charge much more for the esrog, but the lulav is considered more chashuv, and therefore you hold the lulav in your right hand. So the question presents itself, so then why don't you put tefillin on your right arm? If your right arm is better than your left arm, so then why don't you put tefillin on your right arm? We know in general the right is considered primary. We'll see in a minute that when Yaakov Avinu, the famous incident when he switched his hands giving the brachos to his grandchildren, he put his right hand on Ephraim, and that stirred up a whole controversy that he's the younger son, why is he getting the right hand? Right, we find the pasuk tells us in towards the end of the Torah, mimino eish das lamo, that the Torah was given mimino from the right. The right is considered the preeminent side in halacha. A person carrying a sefer Torah is supposed to carry the Torah over his right shoulder. Even a left-handed person is supposed to carry the Torah over his right shoulder because of this pasuk mimino eish das lamo. So the right is always considered the preeminent arm. And that being the case, why is it that you don't put tefillin on that arm? So this is going to be the discussion in this Gemara. So it says as follows, and this is going to get a little technical, but please bear with me here. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Yotcha Zu Smol. So the Gemara says, how do you know you should put tefillin on your left arm? Now the Gemara, this entire Gemara is speaking about a right-handed person. Okay, it was not common that people were left-handed until very recently. You obviously always had left-handed people, but in throughout history, people were predominantly right-handed, and there were even many times when it was considered deviant to be left-handed, and they would force people to be right-handed. My own father, Shalom be well, when he was a child, was naturally left-handed, and when he went to school, they forced him to be right-handed. They said, you cannot write left-handed, it's a freakish thing to do. They held that maybe it would have some effect on a person's thinking or whatever, and they forced him as a young boy to be a right-handed, and to this day, he writes with his right hand. He cannot write with his left hand. When I went to school, I was left, the world changed, so I'm left-handed, and it stayed that way. But that's the way it was. It was considered unusual to be left-handed. So the whole Gemara here is going to be speaking about a right-handed person. We'll talk about a lefty soon. But the Gemara begins that when it says in the pasuk Yodcha, that it says that the tefillin should be put on your arm, right? Yodcha, says the Gemara, you know what it means, your arm? Zuz small. This refers to your left arm. Now why would you say that? So the Gemara says, Atomer small, ain't all you mean. The Gemara says, why would you think that? In other words, the pasuk that we just read says, so the Gemara says, you know, you should put it as a sign. Tefillin should be a sign on your arm, or literally on your hand, right? It means on your arm. So on your arm means your left arm. That you should put the tefillin on your left arm. Why in the world does it seem that the word yodcha means your left arm? So the Gemara quotes the following pasuk. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, "Af Talmud Lomar, Af Yodi Yosta Oretz," that my hand has established, has set the foundation of the world, V'yemini, and my right hand, Tavcha Shamayim, has measured out the heavens. This is Hashem speaking, that my hand established the world, and my right hand measured out the heavens. So the Gemara says that you see in this pasuk that when it was referring to the right hand, it specifically said Yamin. In other words, in this pasuk, there's a reference to two hands, so to speak. Not that God has hands, but figuratively speaking, that Hashem says that with my hand I established the world, and with my right hand I set up the heavens. So that implies that when you see, apparently you see from this pasuk, that when speaking about the right hand, you would use specifically, the Torah would specifically use the word Yamin. Whereas if the Torah just uses the word Yad, if the Torah just says hand and it doesn't specify, so apparently from this pasuk you see that that refers to the left hand. Because here in the pasuk it speaks about the hand, and then it speaks about the right hand. So what's the hand? The hand must be the left. So if that's the case, the Chazal say that when it says in our pasuk, so apparently the Torah is telling you that you should put the tefillin on your left hand. And therefore, according to this, this would be the explanation why the typical person puts tefillin on his left arm, even though his right arm is the better arm. Nevertheless, he puts on his left arm. The Gemara proceeds to quote two other psukim which back this up, which I'm not going to get into, and we will fast forward to the bottom section here on the sheet, where the Gemara continues on the top of Daf Lamed Zayin. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi HaChorem Omer, Rabbi Yossi HaChorem says, Matzono Yemin Shenikriyad. Rabbi Yossi HaChorem says, you can't go by that. You're going to tell me that whenever it says the word Yad in the Chumash, it refers, if it just says Yad, it means the left. If it meant the right, it would have said Yamin. Says Rabbi Yossi HaChorem, I'll show you that that's not true. Because from the incident of Yosef, from the incident of Yaakov Avinu, with his grandchildren, right? So it says, Vayar Yosef ki Yoshis Aviv Yad Yamino. It says that Yosef was observing when Yaakov switched his hand and put his right hand on Ephraim, and the Torah tells us that Yosef was disturbed by this. Yosef asked his father, what's going on? So here in the pasuk, it says, Yad Yamino. So here you have the word Yad, and it says, Yad Yamino. So here, the word Yad means you're right, it means the right hand. So how can the Gemara derive as a general rule that whenever it says the word Yad, it means the left, if here you see that the word Yad means the right? So this is disputed. Now I'm sure people sitting here, you think to yourself, well, that's because here the Torah specifically says Yad Yamino. But if it just said Yad, it would mean the left. That's the debate here in the Gemara. But nonetheless, this is the challenge that's put forth by Rabbi Yossi HaChorem. And apparently, because of this kasha, others were looking for other bases to say that you put tefillin on your left arm. So we skip down two lines, and the Gemara says, Reb Nosson Omer Eino Tzarech. Reb Nosson comes along and he says, you don't need this. You don't have to come on to this business that the word Yad means your left hand. You don't have to come on to that. Why? Because Harehu Omer Ukshartem Uksavtem. Because when the Torah speaks about, in the third and fourth sections of the tefillin, when the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of tefillin, so the Torah speaks in sequence, first about tefillin, and then about mezuzah. It says, Ukshatim lo'osla yodzal tov tfeinach, and then it says, Ukhsavtam al mezuzah speisech l'visharecha. So in two consecutive psukim, you have the word Ukshatim, you should tie it on, referring to the tefillin. And then in the next pasuk it says uksavtam, saftam, which means that you should write the mezuzahs. So what does this have to do with anything? Says the Gemara, from the juxtaposition of these two psukim, from the fact that it says ukshartam and right away it says uksavtam, says the Gemara, ma'ksiva b'yamin, af kshira b'yamin. says the Gemara that this is more than just a coincidence. The fact that these two psukim follow each other, the Torah is trying to teach you something here. The Torah is telling you that the hand that you do the tying of the tefillin with should be the same hand that you write mezuzahs with. Now, what hand would a person write a mezuzah with? So since typically, commonly, people are right-handed, so therefore, the Torah is saying that the right hand which you use to write a mezuzah, should be the hand that you also use ukshartem, to tie on the tefillin. Says the Gemara, and v'kivan d'kshira b'yamin hanocha b'smali. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, then it comes out that you put the tefillin on your left arm. Why? Because the Torah is saying that the hand that you use to write that you would use to write a mezuzah should be the hand that you use to tie on the tefillin. Meaning, not that that should be the hand that the tefillin rests on, but ukshartam, that should be the ukshartam means you should tie it on. That hand should be the hand that you tie on the tefillin. Says the Gemara, well, if you use your right hand to write mezuzah, then it follows that you use your right hand to tie on tefillin. And if you use your right hand to tie on tefillin, obviously the tefillin should be placed on your left arm. Because it's impossible for a person to tie the tefillin with his own hand onto the same arm that he's tying it with. It's impossible to do it. So therefore, it must be that if you tie it with your right, the tefillin rests on your left. And according to Rav Nosson, this is the source for putting tefillin on the left arm. Again, we're talking now about right-handed. The common case, a right-handed person would put tefillin on the left arm. And now the Gemara brings one more opinion. And the Gemara goes back to Rabbi Yossi HaChorim, who was just mentioned previously. And the Gemara says that he does not agree with this, and he has a different way of deriving it. Okay, Rabbi Yossi, so the Gemara, not Rabbi Yossi HaChorim, if you skip down two lines, the Gemara says Ravashi. The third opinion is Ravashi. Ravashi Omar comes along, Ravashi, and he says, I'll tell you even a simpler way. Because it says, Miyod Choksiv. Because the Pasuk says, Vahaya Lo'oz Al Yodcha. The Pasuk that we spoke about at the beginning. And the word Yodcha, we pointed out, is spelt unusually. The word is spelt Yud Dalet Chav Hey. Says the Gemara that when it says it with a hey, the reason why it's spelt in this unusual manner is because there is a drusha here. Yodcha means Yad Keha. Yad Keha means your weak arm. Your weak arm. In other words, when the Torah says V'haya La'os Al Yodcha, says Rav Ashi, you know why the pasuk was written that way? You know why the word is spelt in an unusual manner? Because it's telling you that it should be La'os, that the tefillin should be as a sign Al Yad Keha, on your weak arm. Your weak arm, typically by most people, would be their left arm. And therefore, according to Rav Ashi, this is how we know that a person puts tefillin on his left arm. So to summarize, there are three opinions. The first thing is, how do you know, again, by right-handed people, how do you know that a person puts the tefillin on his left arm? So the first opinion is because the word yad in the Torah means the right. The word yad on the Torah means the left. Whenever it says yad, the word yad by itself means the left arm. Then it says, yadcha means put it on your left arm. Fine. Second opinion is the opinion of Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson says that you get it from ukshartam uksaftam, that the hand that writes should be the hand that ties, and therefore, since people typically write with their right hand, therefore their right hand should tie on the tefillin, and the tefillin should rest on their left arm. The third opinion is from the pasuk Yodcha, that the word Yodcha implies Yad Keha, your weak arm, and thus you would put it on your weaker arm, which is the left. Okay, there you have it. So now, this is all fine and good if a person is right-handed. If a person is right-handed, there is no question, it's clear, it doesn't matter which opinion you follow, that a person would put tefillin on his left arm. No question. Now, what about if a person is left-handed? So, now, if you think about it, if the person is left-handed, so let's go through the opinions. If the person is left-handed, if you go by the first opinion, that whenever the Torah says the word yad, it means left, so then it wouldn't make a difference whether you're left-handed or right-handed. Because the Torah says, the word yad means the left arm. So the Torah is specifically telling you, put the tefillin on your left arm. Doesn't matter who you are, the word yad in the Torah means left. So according to the first opinion, a left-handed person will be the same. According to the second opinion, that holds ukshaytim uksaftim, that the hand that you write with is the hand that you tie the tefillin with, so then it would be different. Because a left-handed person writes with his left hand. And therefore, he would, the law that the tefillin ha-tefillin follows the hand that you write with. If you write lefty, you would tie the tefillin lefty, which means the tefillin would thus rest on your right arm. And so too, according to the third opinion, which says that you go by your weaker arm, yad keya, so again, if the person is a lefty, if he's a true blue lefty, that everything he does is left-handed, so that means that his weaker arm is his right, and thus tefillin would be put, in his case, on his right arm. So a genuine lefty would, according to the first opinion, be no different. According to the second and third, would put on tefillin differently than a person who's right-handed. Okay. Now, it happens to be that the first opinion is pretty much discounted, because they apparently felt that Rabbi Yossi Achorim's question that defined by Yosef that the word Yad means the right, so pretty much the first opinion got pushed aside. So we're left with the second and third opinions. Either it's learned out from the Kshira that the hand that you write with becomes predominant, or it goes by the drusha of Yad Keha that you put tefillin on your weaker arm. Okay, now, if you have a scorecard here, if you're following this, so it would come out that a person who is genuinely, if we discount the first opinion, and we're left just with the second and third, so it would come out that a person who's a real lefty would put tefillin on the other arm. He would put tefillin on his right arm, whereas a typical common right-handed person would put the tefillin on his left arm, a left-handed person would put the tefillin on his right arm. And here's where it begins to get interesting. What happens if you have a person who writes with one hand, but his other hand is stronger? Which is a common, not so uncommon situation. You may be looking at such a person. Maybe I'm deviant, but I think there are a lot of other people that also are in that boat, that you write with one hand, and your other hand is stronger, right? Those who follow baseball know that it's not uncommon to have a player who bats left-handed and throws right-handed, or even the reverse, right? So that's probably less common. But the first thing is not uncommon at all. So it happens in the world that you have situations like that a person, one hand is this and one hand is that. So now, if you go back to the Gemara, you'll say, well, this is going to make a big difference. Because if you hold ukshartem uksaftem, if you hold that you go by that the hand that the drusha is, that whatever hand you write with, the Torah says, whatever hand you would write a mezuzah with is the hand you should tie the tefillin with. And whatever hand you tie the tefillin with means that the tefillin rests on the other arm. So it come out that a left-handed writing person, a person who writes left-handed, okay, so he would put on tefillin on his right arm because of the fact that writing is the ikar. That's what the drush is. It doesn't matter if he had an arm wrestle with somebody, which arm he would wrestle with. It doesn't matter if he had to pick up a heavy suitcase or a heavy bag, which hand he would pick it up with, because the Torah specifically says, ukshaitem, ukshaftem, ukshaftem, that whichever hand you write with should be the hand that you tie with. Nothing else matters. And thus, a left-handed person who writes left-handed would put on tefillin, like what we call, like a lefty. That would be a lefty, that he would put tefillin on his left and tie the tefillin on his right arm. However, if you go by the third opinion in the Gemara is that it goes by Yad Keah, that it goes by your weaker arm. Whichever arm is weaker, that's the arm that you put tefillin on. Then weaker, then writing has nothing to do with it. Then writing, okay, big deal. You write with your left hand, but what else do you do? But when you wanna punch somebody, you wanna arm wrestle with somebody, you would put out your right arm. If you had to pick up something heavy, you would pick it up with your right arm. If you had to do other things like that, your stronger arm would be the right arm. Then you would be right handed. So this is a big, big debate in the poskim, what to do in a situation like this. So again, just to summarize, if the person is clearly right-handed, there is no question that he puts tefillin on his left arm. If a person is clearly left-handed, meaning he writes lefty and he does everything else lefty as well, or most things lefty, then there is no question that he puts the tefillin on his right arm. If you're in between, that you write with one and do malachas with the other, this is where we have the controversy. So, if you turn over the sheet to this would be on the second sheet, the first side. So we have here a very interesting sefer. There is a sefer called Sefer HaTruma, which was written by one of the Balei HaTosfos. This is not such a common sefer, but it's written by one of the Gedolei HaRishonim in the 13th century by Rabbeinu Baruch Megermaiza, who was part of the group known as the Balei HaTosfos. And he says the following thing. Okay, there's an arrow in the left-hand margin. He says that v'im hu iter. If a person is an iter, now an iter, if you're familiar with your navi, if you remember from the book of Shoftim, so the famous incident with Ehud, that he went and killed the king, the Eglon Melech Moab, and the reason he was able to do it was because he was a lefty, and he caught him by surprise because he drew his sword with his left hand, and the king of Moab was not expecting that. So you have in the very beginning of Sefer Shoftim that Ehud ben Gera was referred to in the pasuk as an Iter Yad Yamino. Iter Yad Yamino, that's a quote from the pasuk. Iter is the slight difference of opinion what exactly the word means, but the common translation is that the word Iter means it's like closed off. Iter Yad Yamino means his right hand is closed. That means he's a left. That's the term to mean that his right hand doesn't help him so much. He uses his left hand. So in the halacha, whenever they speak about a left-handed person, it's referred to as an Iter. So Aleph Tesresh Iter. So it says as follows: Im hu Iter meiniach tefillin biyamino shehu smolo. Okay, the person who's right-handed, so he puts on the tefillin on what is ordinarily what would be his equivalent of the right arm. In other words, a regular person puts tefillin on the right arm. This guy, if he's truly left-handed, puts tefillin on. Excuse me, a regular person who's right-handed puts tefillin on his left arm, this guy would put tefillin on his right arm. Then he says further, I'm sorry, I lost the place here for a second. What happens if a person is ambidextrous? A person who is ambidextrous, which is very, very uncommon, ambidextrous in halacha means that he could do everything equally well with both hands, which is very rare. So then he says he would also put on like a regular right-handed person. And then he says, V'chol ha-sholeit v'kosev b'smol kol adam. A person who writes with his left arm. V'shah kol melachos shol koach u'gvura osa b'yamin. Right? And a person who writes with his left arm but does actions of strength, activities that require strength with his right. So he says, Zeaklau Lo Olam Yaniach Tfilin Biyad Toshish Koach. Afal Pisha Kosev Osiyad. So Hayad Ke Hadarish. Says the Baal HaTrumos, says Rabbeinu Baruch, that in my opinion, he says, the bottom line of that Gemara is that you go by your weak arm. Your weak arm, that drusha, the third drusha of Yad Keha, is what rules. And therefore, even if you're right left-handed, but if your right hand is stronger, then you would be considered halachically a right-handed person when it comes to tefillin, and vice versa. If a person wrote with his right hand, but did malachas with his left hand was stronger, then he would be considered a left-handed person. And this is the psak, the earliest psak that we find in this shaila in the poskim is here in the Sefer HaTruma, 13th century. This is what he says. And thus it would come out that when you write left, that the commonly held perception, I believe if you went into shuls and took a poll and asked people what determines which arm you put tefillin on, I think many, many people would say ultimately it goes by the, whatever hand you write with, you put the tefillin on the other. And Rabbeinu Baruch says that's not so. He says that it doesn't go by that exclusively. If that would be the if the hand you write with is your dominant hand in general, then fine. But if you do malachus with the other, then malachus wins out. This is what he says. Now this, you know, anyone that would hear this would, this I think would create a certain uneasiness if we broadcast this to Klal Yisrael, a lot of people would start getting a little antsy here. Because, you know, typically when a boy is bar mitzvah and they ask him, you know, it used to be that they didn't even ask him. You know, I remember when I was bar mitzvah, which I don't think was all that long ago, you couldn't even get what's called left-handed tefillin. They only made right-handed tefillin, and they had to cut it on the other side in order to make it for a lefty. Today it's very common, there are many, many left-handed people, and therefore today you just tell the sofer you want to let, my son is a lefty, and no problem. But when they ask the question, is my son a lefty or is my son a righty, what do people look at? Nobody gives him a test. Nobody goes to see how he plays baseball. Yeah. Right? What do you ask? You ask, what hand does he write with? What hand does he write with? Oh, he writes with his right hand. Oh, he's a righty. He writes with his left hand. He's a lefty. But you see over here, the opinion of Rabbeinu Baruch is not true. It doesn't go by that, because the opinion in the Gemara that carried the day was the final opinion, which says, Yad Keha, the weak arm. The weak arm is what we go by. Writing is not a factor. This is what he said. Now, to raise the stakes, we have to realize that in the opinion of almost every posek that ever lived, if a person puts the tefillin on the wrong arm, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Which means, right, that if you put the tefillin, if a person is a lefty and he put the tefillin on like a righty, he's not yotzei. A person's a righty, or let's go the other way. A person's a righty and puts the tefillin on like a lefty, he is not yotzei. So there's a lot riding on this. There's a lot riding on this. And here, you know, you start to think, well, wait a second, I never thought about that. And I could tell you, in my own life experience, that I write left-handed. I did from the time I was a kid. I write left-handed, and by my bar mitzvah, it was determined that, well, he writes left-handed. So no one ever bothered to watch me play tennis. And to see, well, which hand does he hold the racket in? Or which arm does he arm wrestle with? Or if he picked up a suitcase? Nobody asked that question, because it was just presumed, well, he's a lefty. Oh, he's a lefty, everyone knows a lefty. But is that called a lefty? Is that called a lefty or not? If you get it wrong, you're not yotzei. So what do we do? So it happens to be, if you turn over the sheet to the second sheet, side B, so there is a dissenting opinion. There is a dissenting opinion that came about pretty much at the same time, also from one of the Balei HaTosfos. It's very interesting that this Shaila is only discussed amongst Ashkenazic poskim, which would lead one to believe that the Sfaradim forced everybody to be right-handed, whether they liked it or not, but therefore there was no Shaila. But by the Ashkenazim, this is what, it's all in the Ashkenazi poskim. Every single discussion is found amongst Ashkenazim. So here you have, he says the following. Now we're going to read the bold print from the Tur. The Tur was written in the 15th century. The Tur was one of the later Rishonim, and therefore his opinion carries a lot of weight, because in Halacha we usually go by the later opinions. So he says as follows. The Tur says, "V'iter yad yamino," a person whose right hand is closed off, meaning that he's left-handed. "Meiniach bismolo shehu yamin shel kol adam." He would put the tefillin on a lefty. Puts the tefillin on what's considered his left arm. In other words, with his left arm is really his right arm, but, you know, that's the way it's referred to. Meaning a person who's left-handed puts on tefillin on his right arm. Uperish harav Rabbeinu Yechiel mi Paris. So now he says, from Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, who was also one of, I believe, one of the Balei HaTosfos. Rabbeinu Yechiel mi Paris said, Dafka kisha osa kol melachto b'smolo, that this would only be the case if he does, or when is he considered a lefty? That's if he does all of his work with his left hand. Aval im hu kosev b'yamino, but if he writes with his right hand, Afal pisha shai melachto b'smolo, even though everything else he does as a lefty, dino kishar adam, then he is treated like a normal person. Meaning, Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris took the opposite opinion. He said that when we say a person, a left-handed person, puts on tefillin differently, that is only if he is genuinely left-handed. But if he's left-handed in matters of strength, but he writes right-handed, then he's a right-handed person. This is what he said. So there you have it. So the two opinions in the Rishonim. You have from the early Rishonim two opinions. You have the opinion of Sefer HaTruma, which says that you go by the third parrot of the Gemara, that it goes exclusively by the stronger arm, as opposed to the opinion of Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, who said that it goes by the hand that you write with. So thus, the people who when Bar Mitzvah time came along, only looked at what hand does the child write with, so they will hang their hat on the Psach of Rabbeinu Yechiel mi Paris. Now, of course, we haven't yet gotten to the Shulchan Aruch, but at least in theory, there are two opinions. Yeah.
Truly ambidextrous person who will pick up his pen with either hand.
Yes.
Has to follow the majority.
That's correct. A truly ambidextrous person is very, very rare to have such a thing, right? That would be halakhically. In other words, people we consider ambidextrous that he could do a little of this and a little of that. That's not in halakha an ambidextrous person. And when it comes to tefillin, and when it comes to an ambidextrous person, means that he could do both equally. Equally. Yes.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah. I know of an elderly gentleman who was a born lefty.
Yeah.
Parents forced him to be a right.
Yes.
Now, because of that, he's putting tefillin on the left arm.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, the issue.
Why, you mean because of the way he was born?
Because the human.
Okay, that's discussed in the post-Kim also, what you're doing in a case like that. Yeah.
Now, because the interest of making the left.
Yeah.
Is he doing anything?
I wasn't going to get into that, but the Mishnah Berurah says, I believe, the Mishnah Berurah says that a person, that what you do is what matters. Even if you taught yourself, in other words, we don't look at what the natural thing was, we look at what you actually do. What you actually do, that seems to be the consensus of the poskim, that in other words, a person naturally lefty, but they forced him to be righty, becomes a righty. That's the halacha. You should tell him. He should switch. That they should not. He should not put on the tone that way. But
he's writing with his right hand, so he's putting.
See, he's right-handed. He's right-handed. He's right-handed. The fact that he was born lefty doesn't matter.
Okay, so he's putting it on the.
Oh, he's doing it.
He's doing
like
it.
A right-handed person. Oh yeah. Okay. So now, see, it's getting late. So just to cut to the chase. So who do we pass in life? So if you turn back to the second side of the first sheet. So sure enough, the Shulchan Aruch, in typical fashion, brings both opinions. Okay? Says, Yei Shomrim and Yei Shomrim. Okay? So the Shulchan Aruch begins on the top, it's underlined, Iter Yad Yamino, a person who is a left-hander. In most, the first opinion, if he does all his actions with his left hand, then he is considered a lefty. Right, that there is no question. Then it says, continuing on, Imkosev Biamino, on the second line of the second section, Imkosev Biamino, if he writes with his right, and everything else he does with his left, or vice versa, Ye Shomrim, on the third line, Ye Shomrim Sheaniach Tfilin Biyacha Tosh Koach. Some people say that you go by the weaker arm, meaning that writing doesn't matter. You go by the arm that's weaker. The bein and yad keha. The yesh omrim, and others say sheyat shekosev ba hui chashuva, that the hand that you write with, that's the one that we go by. Umeiniach tefillin biyad shekenegza. So he brings both opinions. Maran Bet Yosef, right, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, brings both opinions and is not machria. He does not say which one is the primary opinion. Okay, so it's left up to people to figure out. There are rules when it comes to this. Some say that when the Beis Yosef quotes two Yesh Omrims, he always follows the second one. I think that may be debated, but that is, it's unclear. However, we have here a two-word insert by the Ramah. The Ashkenazic notes to the Shulchan Aruch, and when he, the second opinion that was listed here was that we go by the writing, says the Ramah in the parentheses, V'hachi Nahog. That is the halacha. The halacha is, that is the, he doesn't say it's the halacha, he says, V'hachi Nahog, that is the practice. The practice is that we go by the hand that you write with. This is what he says. Okay? Thus, the ones who ask the kids by the bar mitzvah, what hand do you write with? That's all, that would be the only question you have to ask. However, this opinion of the Ramah is hotly debated. Hotly debated, in fact, I don't want to get into it, but if you look, the Ramah that's in the Shulchan Aruch is based on the notes to the Torah called Dake Moshe, which he all, the same person wrote, and if you look in his notes of in the Dake Moshe, he doesn't say that this is the practice. He says that in his opinion this is what should be done, but implies that it's not the practice. So the truth of the matter is this is a tremendous dispute, and the Vilna Gaon in the Hagos Hagra and the Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Gaon paskin the halacha like the first opinion, that the halacha is that you go by the hand that is stronger regardless of which hand you write with. And that, and if you look through the poskim, it's not just the Gra said it, but those who followed him, the subsequent generations, you have the Aruch HaShulchan says the halacha this way, Rav Moshe Feinstein held that this was the halacha this way, that you don't go by what the Ramah says, you don't go by what you write with, but rather you go by what you, which arm is stronger. However, on the other team, there are also some all-stars, right? So you have the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch clearly says it. From the Mishnah Berurah, it's unclear, it's very strange. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't come out with a clear-cut ruling on this. It's such a basic shaila that's nogeya, that's relevant to a mitzvah in the Torah, that you're not yotze if you don't do it the right way. And he doesn't, it's unclear what he holds. But there are others, Magen Avraham, the Chayada, many people who hold on the other team, that what the Ramah said is that you go by the Ksiva. So now, we're left again. So what do you do? So, some people will tell you that you just go, well, that we go by the Shulchan Aruch. At the end of the day, at least Ashkenazim, it's very clear, the rabbi of the Ashkenazim, the Ramah, said, Hachi know that this is what you do, whether he meant this is what's done or this is what should be done. But clearly, that's his opinion, and therefore you would go by writing. That's what some people say. However, other people, as I say, many, many poskim in the recent generations held not like that. So now what do you do? So, there are some people, brace yourself, there are some people who say, well, we have a rule in the Torah called Safik Daraisa Wachumra, that when you are in doubt about a mitzvah in the Torah, you have to be strict. So therefore, what should you do? Put tefillin on both arms. Put tefillin on both arms. Now, how do you put tefillin on both arms? Right? So you'll say you have to get a bigger bag, you know, that has room for the third one. Right? You have the Shal Rosh, and then the Shal Yad Lefty, and Shal Yad Righty. So that cannot be done. The post can say that's not an option. You cannot possibly put both at the same time. Not because you can't do it, but because they say that would be a question of Baltosif, which is a discussion itself, why that would be true. But that is discounted. So the next choice would be, the next choice would be to do the following. The next choice, and this is what I know people who do this. Strange, you know, if you see someone in shul who seems strange, now you're going to be Malamed Schutz. You say, what's going on with this guy? After davening, he puts on tefillin differently. So what some people do is they say like this. They will go by, let's say, by what the Ramah said. That they'll pick, let's say, one opinion. Let's take the Ramah. That writing is the main thing. So a person who writes left-handed and a stronger right-handed, so he will put on the tefillin like a left-handed person. But after the davening, he will take off the tefillin from his right arm and turn it around, because the kesher, the knot that's on the side of the tefillin shayat, always has to be by your heart. So it wouldn't help to put it on the regular way on the other arm, because the kesher would be in the wrong place. So therefore they turn it backwards and they tie it on their other arm after davening. This is what some people do, and this is what some people held. I believe Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky held this, that others held that, listen, what could you do? Suffolk their eyes will chomer. This is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. So when I was in yeshiva, and you know, when, before you bar mitzvah, you don't realize any of these things, and nobody asks any questions. So therefore, you're a lefty, and the truth is, I don't blame anyone, but for saying that I was a lefty, because certain things, if I would play baseball, I swing a bat lefty also. But as the years went on, I began to notice that when I have something heavy to pick up, I pick it up with my right arm. And to this day. And therefore I began to get nervous. I began to get nervous because I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not putting my yotzei tefillin here. I'm putting on tefillin every day. It's a bracha of atola, not fulfilling the mitzvah. What's going on here? So I hopped on the subway in New York. Rav Moshe Feinstein had passed away already at the point that I woke up to this shiloh. But his son, Shalom Miller of David Feinstein, who took his place in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, so I went down to discuss it with him. And I was going to ask him. I sat down with him and I said, so tell me, am I a lefty or a righty? So he said, which arm would you punch somebody with? So I said, I would punch somebody with my right arm. However, I don't punch people. So why should that count? In other words, if you can't, which arm would you do stenography? Was it relevant to me? If you go by the arm that you do most of your work with, it should only be things that are relevant. So I'm not sure if he was impressed by that question. I got the impression that he backed off a little bit. So then he started asking me other things. And then he said to me, I'll tell you the truth, I'm not sure. So yikes, I said, you're not sure, so now what do I do? So now I'm doomed to go put on tefillin. It's a tremendous hassle to do it, to put on tefillin the other way, and everybody looks at you like you're crazy, and everybody else is leaving davening, and you're stuck there, at least the Rabbeinu Tam people, at least they could feel that you're doing something exotic, you put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, but here it's because I'm mixed up, deviant human being, that I'm stuck in shul, and everybody else is going home to eat breakfast. So the discussion ensued, and it came out that Rav Moshe Feinstein, his father, held that it was ridiculous to put tefillin on both arms. Why? Now listen to this. He said it's impossible that should be a solution to the problem. Because if that were true, then it would come out that you could not, the only way possible to make a bracha on your tefillin, if that's the case, you would have to do the following. Because after all, there's a bracha to be made on tefillin. The bracha to be made on tefillin. So now, but if you're not sure if you say, you don't say a bracha. That's always the rule. You only say a bracha when you know for sure. Suffolk brachas lahakel. If you're not sure, you don't do it. So he says to Ramosh like this, if you want to be able to make a bracha, sir, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to put on tefillin both arms, impossible. So what you're going to have to do is, you're going to have to, let's say you're right left-handed. So you'll take out your lefty tefillin, you'll say the bracha on the tefillin, put it on your left hand. But you may not be yotze yet, because you may be right-handed. So therefore, after you put on the tefillin, you immediately then take it off, then put it on your right hand. So now you have it on the right hand too, so the bracha went on both. Now you take out the shorosh, and you say the bracha shorosh, al mitzvah, the Ashkenazim say the bracha shorosh, al mitzvah tefillin. But then you have a problem because you only yotze the shorosh if you also have the shalyad. So now, but your shalyad may be wrong. So now you have to quickly take off the shalyad from your right arm and put it back on your left arm. So that would mean putting the tefillin on your left, let's say, if you're a left-handed person, you would put the tefillin on your right arm, then on your left arm, then put on the shorosh, then put the tefillin back on your right arm. So Rav Moshe said, that's ridiculous, we don't find anywhere in the poskim that anybody suggested such a thing. He said, it's a tremendous tircha, and it can't be that the Chazal expected a person to do such a thing. So therefore, that's out of the question. So what then? So what then do you do? So he said an amazing story. See, I heard over the story from several people that a young man who had the same shiloh went to Eretz Yisrael to study in the renowned Brisker Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, where in the Brisk Yeshiva they're known, among other things, for their meticulous observance of halacha. And they don't take any chances. They do every mitzvah is done kedasa kedin. And therefore, this guy went to the yeshiva, and they told him, well, you have to put on tefillin. He had the shaila. They told him you have to put tefillin on both arms. Not the way Reb Moshe said. They told him, they forgot about the bracha. They said, just put on like a, whichever you do first, and then after davening, put it on your other arm. So he came back, and he said, when he came back to America, so he went, Reb Moshe Feinstein was alive, he went to ask him the shaila. So he said the following. So Reb Moshe said to him, what have you done until now? So he said, until now, I always put on tefillin like the Ramah says. I went by the hand that I write with. I write left-handed, that's what I did. So, you know, but now I realize that there's more to the halacha. So Reb Moshe said to him, if you've always done like the Ramah, then that means that is your minhag. So the fellow said, yeah, but the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, amongst many others, held that it's not that way. I'll come upstairs after 120 years, and he'll be standing there, you know, with a baseball bat, you know, swinging right-handed, right, saying to me that you weren't Yosef Tefillin. What's wrong with you? You didn't put on tefillin one day in your life. So Reb Moshe said, he said the following thing. He said, I want you to know something. He said, if you would have come to me before your bar mitzvah, I would have told you to do differently than what you're doing now. He said, however, if this is what you've been doing until now, then that is your minhag. And then he said the remarkable words. He said that the Vilna Gaon would never have had the audacity to say that the Ramah was wrong. In other words, in halacha, you could have more, there's room for more than one opinion. There's no absolute right and absolute wrong. Right, as we see all the time, every week, there's a machlokas and there's two opinions, so what are we going to say? That half the world who follows that opinion didn't do the mitzvah? You can't say that, because how could it be such a thing? Right, you have today, people put on tefillin, some people put the tefillin goes out, some people the tefillin goes in, some people wear the arik tzav, some people have the Beis Yosef tzav. So what are we going to say? Half the religious Jews in the world aren't Yosef tefillin, it can't be such a thing. The answer is, Elamai, that they're each valid opinions. So whatever you follow, whatever you've done until now, that is your minhag, and if that's your minhag, that's the way it should stay. And on that basis, he told this fellow, and I to hold this to be by myself also, he said that if you've always done what the Ramah said, you should keep doing it that way, and you should not put it on the other arm. Finished. Case closed. This is what he said. So, in the end of the day, it comes out that it is a very big machlokas. I assume Reb Moshe's talk holds by everybody. If anybody's sitting here is thinking, maybe I haven't done it right. Whatever you've done, this was his psak. Whatever you've done is what you should keep doing. However, should you know, if you have a child or a grandchild who's approaching bar mitzvah, and you want to make the decision, is this young man a lefty or a righty? Just bear in mind, don't just look at what hand he writes with. If he writes lefty and does everything else lefty, call the vote, he's a lefty. No question about it. But, there are just, for the record, want to throw in the Mekubalim, the people who exclusively follow the Kabbalah, they hold that everybody puts on the tomb like a right-handed person. They don't go about his business. But we don't, the halach is not that way. I'm saying, so if you see a young boy and he's a genuine lefty, no problem. But if you see that he's a lefty for this and not for that, or conversely, he's a righty for this and not for that, then it may be worth putting in a call to your local Orthodox rabbi.